The thing you need most from a news organization is reporting you can trust. Journalists dedicated to telling you the truth. I'm Molly Ingram, and thanks to your contributions to WSHU, we can continue to bring you reliable and trusted news coverage in the weeks and months to come. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU Public Radio. We're expanding our world together.
Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont told state lawmakers at the beginning of their 2025 legislative session today that he wants to hold down the rising costs of energy, education, and health care.
The cost of Medicaid and employee health care is spiking, and the Trump administration is rumored to be cutting back on health care subsidies for Medicaid and Obamacare, which will hurt working families and small businesses hard.
Lamont says the state's relationship with the new Donald Trump administration in Washington would likely affect his priorities in the next two-year state budget proposal that he'll present to lawmakers next month. This is After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. LIPA is switching management companies. Violent crime is down in Connecticut, according to state police. ISO New England sees a dip in midday power usage, plus New York's cost of living is expected to be a major point in Governor Hochul's State of the State address. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garon. The Long Island Power Authority is switching management companies. That means PSEG Long Island will no longer run fuel and power supply services, WSHU's Desiree DiOrio explains.
LIPA awarded a new $20 million five-year contract to a nonprofit called the Energy Authority. They'll manage oil and natural gas shipments to LIPA-contracted power plants starting in 2026. PSEG Long Island has managed that particular service for the last decade. Newsday reports the contract decision was unexpected at PSEG, where an email to workers said the LIPA board decided to move forward with a competitor. LIPA is reviewing separate proposals for the more expensive contract of electric grid management for Long Island and the Rockaways. PSEG Long Island is still in the running to snag that one. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
The Connecticut League of Conservation Voters held their 25th annual summit to promote legislation they hope to pass this session. WSHU's Melinda Tuhus has more.
Topics included land conservation and nature-based solutions like preserving forests, clean energy and energy efficiency, and affordable housing safe from mold and asbestos. Karen Sajazy is with the Connecticut Zero Waste Coalition. She says the state should expand its organics recycling law to apply to more businesses and other locations.
So at the same time that we have all this wasted food, we haul more than a million tons of trash out of state from Connecticut each year. And a lot of it being 24% of it being wasted food and organics, that's very heavy and it costs more to haul.
The General Assembly convenes today. Melinda Tuhus, WSHU News.
The most violent crime, like homicides and assaults, appear to be on the decline in Connecticut, according to state police figures. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports.
Connecticut State Police are reporting 63 homicides in the state in 2024, less than half as many as the previous year. Now, these are preliminary numbers. Not all departments are up to date on their filings. Official numbers from the FBI come later and often show higher numbers. But it's in line with a drop in violent crime that seems to be a long-term trend broken up only by the COVID-19 pandemic. In fact, this is the first year that homicides have dropped below their pre-COVID-19 numbers. Aggravated assaults are also down a lot, about 2,400 across the state in the past year. If that number is accurate, it's the first time it's been below 3,000 since the pandemic. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
New York Democrats and Republicans share the same concern this legislative session, cost of living. That story is coming up.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
I personally donated a Honda Civic to public radio, and it felt great. It was actually really awesome. I'm Suzanne Bona. These vehicle donations, that adds up to about a week's pledge drive of fundraising. It couldn't have been easier. Literally, we got the phone call. They said, leave the keys in the car. And I came home from the radio station that day, and the car was gone. It was awesome. To donate your car, just go to WSHU.org.
Killingworth, Connecticut's local land trust bought 14 acres of land from the Clinton-based Connecticut Water Utility Company. The utility donated half of the value of the land to the trust, which says the land will be open to the public for hiking and recreation. Former Congressman George Santos from Long Island has asked for a delay in his fraud sentence. He says he needs more time to pay fines, which he plans on funding through his new podcast. Prosecutors have denied the request. They say his claim doesn't accurately reflect his financial situation. Santos is due in court on February 7th. Hartford-based St. Francis Hospital has reached a settlement with Hartford Healthcare over allegations the health giant is trying to eliminate its competition. The undisclosed settlement ends a three-year-old lawsuit by hospital owner Trinity Health of New England, according to the Connecticut Mirror. It claims Hartford Healthcare is trying to create a monopoly by buying up local practices and requiring physicians to refer their patients exclusively to services within its system. The State University of New York will require students to take classes on civic discourse and artificial intelligence next year. WSHU's Janice Roman reports.
Undergraduates and SUNY's incoming fall 2026 cohort will take the courses as part of the general education curriculum. They'll learn how to evaluate information from a variety of sources and the ethics behind creating and sharing information. SUNY officials say they made the change to reflect the rise of emerging technologies like artificial intelligence. SUNY Chancellor John B. King Jr. says the state requirement will help students recognize and ethically use AI. The new curriculum aims to show students how to engage in dialogue by considering multiple points of view and ethically address points of conflict. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
ISO New England is reporting that for the first time in a single year, it has recorded over 100 days in which energy demand actually went down in the middle of the day to solar use. Molly Enking has more.
In the past year, 106 days were characterized as duck curve days, named after a curve in the energy usage graph that loosely resembles waterfowl in profile. These are times in which energy demand dips in the middle of the day. ISO New England's Mary Kate Colapietro says these instances are a direct result of increased solar usage.
The midday energy demand was lower than it was overnight. And this is happening because of the adoption of what's called behind-the-meter solar, which are these smaller scale systems that often are on folks' rooftops, or sometimes you'll see them on top of commercial buildings or by parking lots.
Duck days have been on the rise since ISO New England first started tracking them about 6 years ago. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Molly Enking.
New York lawmakers are gearing up for their 2025 legislative session. Democrats remain in control but lost their supermajority in the Senate. Meanwhile, Republicans are leveraging national momentum for conservative policies. But for both parties, the focus seems to be all in one place, pocketbooks. Jung Yoon Han reports.
At a news conference Friday, State Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie gave New Yorkers a taste of what to expect from Democrats this year.
You know, I don't want to spoil anything, but I think people are going to be pleased to see how much of a concentration we're really going to have on trying to put money back into people's pockets.
Both parties are pushing hard for policies that address affordability this session. That's because Democrats, like Assemblyman John T. McDonald III, are keenly aware that Republicans across the country won on promises to tighten border policies and improve the economy.
I've always known that affordability and safety are the most important issues in people's minds. And we need to make sure that we are walking the walk and talking the talk when we come to those terms.
That's why Governor Kathy Hochul is teaming up with state Democrats to work on a, quote, affordability agenda for the legislature to consider. That includes sending rebate checks of up to $500 for qualifying families and individuals, expanding the state's child tax credit system, and increasing access to child care. State Senator Michelle Hinchey, a Democrat, says affordable housing policies and expanding access to sewage and water are crucial to reduce the cost of living.
We have to do a lot more to make sure that we have programs that make it easier to build new units in communities across upstate New York.
But Republicans, like State Senator Tom O'Mara, say Democrats aren't making affordable policies. He points to their tax proposals and plans for renewable energy, which he thinks would negatively impact the state economy.
I just don't think that the approach that the governor and the majorities have been taking is realistic. I don't think it's going to be reliable, and it's not going to be affordable either in the long run.
Another topic lawmakers will address is education, specifically how the state distributes funds to school districts. But Republicans like State Senator Pat Gallivan question that proposal.
It doesn't seem fair to me if we're saying that we're going to give more money to people who live in certain zip codes than providing for those that live in other zip codes.
The governor is expected to emphasize affordability and health care, among other topics, during her annual speech to the state next week. In Albany, I'm Jung Yun Han with the New York Public News Network.
For the latest news from the Long Island Sound region, listen to us on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And whether it's news, classical music, or podcasts like this one, they're all made possible with support from our listeners. So as always, thank you so much for listening and for sharing this podcast with your friends from Connecticut and Long Island. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.